Blog Talk Radio.
From the Love Channel, and I'm happy to have everybody here tonight. It's been a couple of weeks that I've been here, and I'm really happy to be back to share my heart and my love with everyone. And I really want to dedicate tonight to all the beautiful females that I've come to experience in the last year. I mean, aspects of the beautiful heart that I am outpictured, sisters, and total love and total commitment to love. And I really feel honored and blessed to have kind of got my own group together, my own little, I call, tribe of females that know who they are and know that they're here for one reason, and that's to be one with the love nature and one with the heart and to expand their heart no matter what the situation looks like or what it might feel like. the only intention that I find that they have is to remember who they are, that they are love and they are loved and they are loving, beautiful, beautiful angels. And I wanted to start the show tonight with basically focusing on the female and what I've come to realize in the last year, especially about me and who I am. You know, spending a lot of my life, almost, I guess, 21 years now, focusing on spirituality and focusing on being the spiritual lady that I was born to be and the teacher that I was born to be. And finally, this year, realizing that I really had to be the change that I desired to see in my world. I mean, really be the model of that which I wanted to see, the prototype of that which I wanted to see in my world. And this last few weeks, experiencing what I have, allowing myself to listen to my inner guide and listen to the voice within that said, you know what, it's your birthday. It's a special time of the year, and I want you to book yourself a trip to a place that you really love, and that's New York City. And I didn't have a clue at that point how it would happen. I didn't have a clue where I'd go or who I'd see. I just knew that I had to book the flight. And with that, everything kind of came together, and it was the most miraculous experience of my life because I realized for the first time in a very long time that I have a sense of peace and confidence in myself that I don't think I've ever had before, you know, and that I was able to do what I did alone and meet the people that I did, and it was all very much in the moment. There was no plan for it. It just occurred. And to have the experiences that I had were more than I could have ever imagined. A beautiful time in Manhattan with my son and my daughter-in-law. And the heart that I felt coming from my son and the love that I, and the expression of love in every sense of the word. And again, just a reflection of me and how I feel about me because our children are, in fact, our best teachers. And to see how much he loves me and what high regard that he has me and how he's tried for the last year to make me feel loved and cared about and respected. And you know, it's just me working on me for all these years and finally understanding that I finally got it. I finally have this sense of sweetness about me that I really feel good about who I am. And then having a surprise birthday party with 20 friends from theater. I just show up and a bunch of people are there, a catered affair. It was absolutely, again, the fruits of my labor, me giving the love that I am out to my world and receiving it back in such a pure, holy state. And then meeting Sabrina, who I hadn't met in the body, on Facebook, we became really close, and then meeting her and feeling such a kinship and love, a divine love, and then my Yolanda who just shows up and sees me and celebrates me in such a beautiful way, and it was just divine. And then spending time, most of the time, by myself and knowing that I was okay, I was safe, and I ventured into many, many dark spaces in reality where there really was no others and was great alone and didn't feel even the slightest bit of fear, knowing that I was celebrating my femalehood and my true sense of godhood, you know, to know that I am truly one with the Creator. And through the whole experience, finding myself, which was the most mind-boggling part of it, finding myself just completely peaceful about everything. And not worrying about how the money was going to come, and it did. And you know, then meeting David, I even met my little angel David, and he took me to a beautiful lunch. And it was just divine to experience A Course in Miracles out loud with a male counterpart for a couple of hours. And knowing that, again, all of this was happening in celebration of me loving me and caring for me and remembering who I was and who I am. And I really feel I finally got it. I really feel I finally am that which I want to see in my world. And I think that, for me, the most beautiful part of this expedition, so to speak, is to realize that there really is nothing and no one to change or fix but me. And I've said it over and over again, but to really know that you are, in fact, being true to yourself and walking the walk. And I can't say that I'm in total peace about being alone, because I do love the male in my life. I do love to be with the male in my life and to experience the full sacredness and holiness of the union, the sacred union. But when you really get that it's all about you loving you, you walk with that lover, whether he's by your side or not. You experience the meal with the other, even though he's not there. And it really is about being okay with who you are. Because as I was going to say shortly, a minute ago, that I really felt more than anything this sense of not being alone in my aloneness. And everywhere I went, and whether it was a stranger that I met in a restaurant, or whether it was someone on the road or somebody on the subway, I heard, you'll never be alone. You'll never be alone. And then I come back and I get a call from my dear Jordy, and he basically, you know, I hadn't heard from him for weeks, and he says, I just want you to know that, you know, I'm here and you're never alone, and I really care about so many people. And there's no tie to that. There's no attachment. There's no, you know, need to be a give and take in the physical on any level. It's really about feeling so great about yourself that everything validates that. So I really wanted to celebrate that mindset with the listeners tonight. And whether you, again, be listening on the chat or on the telephone, or maybe you're going to be, you know, an archive listener, I want you to feel what it feels like to truly be authentically one with and what you've come to realize and what you've come to desire in your reality. Because let me tell you, compromise is not at all loving. It's not about loving you to compromise in any sense of the word. You know, I think as a mind, a collective higher consciousness awakened state that I feel I'm in and the people that are in my perceptual reality are in, we can't any longer look back and pretend that we don't know who we are. We can't pretend anymore that we're not wholly one with the one. You know, I also went to see Paul Selig. The last night I was there, Yolanda, me, and Sabrina went to see Paul Selig, and he's a channel for the book I Am. I think it's called That I Am, or Love That I Am. I'm sorry that I'm not saying it right, you know, but do a little search if you're interested in Paul Selig. And I walked through the door, and I saw Alan Steinfeld, who I've done, you know, communication with, because I really felt that I was going to do some work in the Meta Center, which is what he's kind of like the producer there. He brings a lot of the acts and the shows that are there. And we communicate a bunch of times, and I walked through the door, and it's as if we knew each other forever. He just got up and hugged me, and it was so, he does New Realities Radio, if you want to check him out on YouTube, and he's wonderful. He's been doing it for ages. I mean, for so many years, he's been interviewing the most beautiful of spiritual teachers, you know, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, everyone. And he's so humble, and he's so beautiful, and he's just hugging, and he wants to come to Florida, and, you know, he will see me when he does. And it was just so about being regular and loved. And I also went to see Alex Gray for his birthday. They had a big birthday party in Wappingers Falls, and that was what I did the first night. I drove there, and I stayed there overnight. And that was divine, on a piece of property with hundreds of people sharing the moment with Alex for his birthday. And it was so beautiful because, you know, him and I are only a couple of hours apart in the year of our birth, and also the time of our birth. And this man was, I mean, in my opinion, he's another Dolly. This man is an absolute master of what he does. So I did that also. Anyway, and all that, you know, is just really the sideshow of what I'm trying to express here. And that is to remember that you are one with God, that you are one with the Creator, and that in truth that there is nothing and no one that you cannot bring forth in your reality when you know who you are. Because in truth, we are God. We are the gods of our own perceptual reality. And it's just divine. And as I said, and I was saying this to a few people tonight, I feel a sweetness, and that's the only thing that I could really relate it to if I want to do the verbiage with it. There's a sweetness in me, and it comes from the point of my being. It feels like really deeply embedded in my solar plexus, and there's just a softness there and a sweetness there that I've never experienced before. And it's not about another person, place, or thing. It's about me finally walking in my own power. And I've worked really hard to get here in time. Of course, we're timeless, so it's just a blink of an eye. But in time, I've done so much to get to this point. I've slayed many a dragon, you know, to get to this point. And I really feel for the first time that I've reached my destiny. And some of you may know and some of you might not know, but I've just recently, you know, opened my own business, and it's really exciting because it's a dream come true in many respects, because it's going to give me the opportunity, it has given me the opportunity to feed people, which I love to do, and to show them that they're loved and cared about. And it's a restaurant local, and it's really exciting, and I'm involved with my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandson, so it's really exciting. And, again, it's about me being true to myself. And so if there's any message that you might pick up from this show tonight or might want to express to another about this show tonight, it is that we are here to be fully actualized in love. And the relationship that we are to have with the God I Am is very personal. And it is about truly being true to our own heart. And that means if we have to want something, or if we think we want something, we need to know that we have a right to receive it. And that all the obstacles and all the mountains that we need to climb are just simply a mindset, because in truth, we can move the mountains, as we were told. You know, we can raise the dead. So there are those parts of us that don't seem to be with us, we think they're dead to us, when in truth we can raise them from the dead and bring them back into reality in our world. Or we can move the mountain that we think is between me and that other that I want in my life, or that circumstance that I want in my or life. And just by summoning it, just by commanding it, in the Paul Selig workshop, he did something that was very beautiful, and a part of it was very profound for me because I do this all the time. And he said that his channels had brought it to him recently, and he basically says one of three things as an affirmation, and it is, I know who I am, I know I am, I know what I am, I know who I am, and I am the Word. And the Word becomes flesh, you know, which is what we hear and we know is the truth. What I am assuming and stating becomes realized. It does become form. So I am is my experience, which I talk about all the time. But he does this hand dance, which I do when I'm dancing. I do it all the time when I'm driving. All of a sudden, I get this feeling that I'm bringing in an energy, and I start bringing in that energy in. And one of the most beautiful part of this is that he says that for him, it's more like a kinesiology type thing, because he says that if your arms do not go like beyond your solar plexus, that you're still not certain of this reality, or you're still not secure about this being a reality. And the higher your hands go, the more, and the less resistance, or the more apt you are to open up to that reality. And I've been doing it forever, and I love it, because to me it's like a dance, and I do love to dance. So just certain that what you focus on, you will make manifest. You know, we talk about this all the time, and we use all kinds of terminology and teachings, you know, the Abraham and the law of attraction and the give and get, and, you know, what I give, I get back, and the tithing, and I got to give this much to get that much, and whatever, whatever. But in fact, all you have to do is know that you are what you desire to bring forth, that what you are is equal to what you will be bringing forth. And so that when you stay true to your riches, to the kingdom of heaven, to the heir to the kingdom of heaven, that I am the light of the world. I am, in fact, the king and the queen of my reality. And I summon that which I desire to have in my perception reality. And for me, it's not even that anymore, because I really feel that I am is my experience. There's nothing really to intend anymore or want or desire, because this last year has shown me repeatedly, you know, going to New York also in the summer, and then going back now and saying, oh, my God, I can do this. And I can do this without the crying and without the fear of being alone and without the need for my lover to be with me and not the need to have a companion. The first night I got there, it was really interesting because I flew in on Thanksgiving, which for me has always been a very sacred time because it's usually right around my birthday. And I've done most of my radical moves on just before Thanksgiving. So I decided to fly out. I didn't decide that's what the best flight was. That's when I was told to do it. And I end up in a hotel that I booked, and it seemed that I booked the hotel a month in advance, so I lost the money, first of all, and I couldn't stay at that hotel. And so I was really homeless at that point. And, of course, you know, Thanksgiving is one of the biggest holiday, you know, vacation times, so there was no hotels. And I was sitting in a diner that I've gone to with my lover, and I sat there, and I had dinner. And there was a man that was sitting like two seats away from me with a woman. And he kept on waving to me. He finally got up and he sat with me and he said, you know, my girl is really threatened by me doing this, but I feel guided to. I feel like, you know, I have to share the love. That's who I am. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, you know, how could this be? Though I know, you know, how could it not be? But, and, you know, he was talking and I told him I was a spiritual teacher. And he said, you know, I don't want you to be alone. Please come and join us. And I said, no, I'm not alone. I'm choosing this, and thank you so much for the invite. He said, no, please, after you have your dinner, please come be with us. And I did that, and, you know, it was so wonderful because it ended up to be a wonderful experience, just a lovely time of talking and sharing the love and, you know, them sharing so much blessings and love with me as I was leaving. And then shortly after, I was able to find a hotel, which was very lovely. And it was just so easy. It was so easy. Anyway, we do have a caller, and it might be Sabrina. I'm not sure. It might be someone that I know because the number looks really familiar. So I'm going to open the lines, and if anybody wants to call with a question or a comment or just to share the love, which I always love to experience with you guys, please feel free to do that. The number here is 646-595-3440, and of course there's always the chat to communicate in. And again, the number is 646-595-3440. And I want to send out again a special hug to the angels that showed up for me. And those are all my friends from theater that showed up that were just, oh, my God. Thank you, Linda and Anthony, my son, for, you know, putting it together. And Sam for being obedient and following us around and being an angel. And also, oh, my God, I couldn't ask for a better sister or, I don't know, there's just such a connection. And Yolanda, oh, my God. She's like, every time I show up, she's just so wonderful. We had tea, and then we had dinner, and then we played. Oh, my God. So I want to thank you guys. And then David, oh, I love you so much. You're such a dear brother to me. And Jordy, if you show up, it'd be lovely to hear from you. If not, I want to thank you so much for just showing up as you do as a big brother. You know, you, thank you so much. So I'm going to open the line, and I want to see who this is. Hello.
Hi, it's Sabrina. You called it.
Hello, love. How are you?
How are you?
I raved on it. I had to because I had so much to say. So talk a little bit. Tell me a little bit.
I learned a lot this week. I mean, it is true that, you know, you are what you become, but you're already there. It's so weird to even put into words, like when you said the actualization that you are where you're meant to be, like today, right now, whatever circumstance, whatever you see in your future can become if you allow it, if you allow yourself to be worthy enough of that truth. I really believe in it. For instance, I mean, it sounds silly. I wanted to win contest tickets, and I didn't. But for the first time living in New York City, not only did I get one number, I got two numbers, and I didn't get a busy signal. That's never happened to me before in my life. Doing
those
call-ins,
cool.
I got call-in number one, and then call-in, and I said, oh, I you know, like I kind of said, dang it, I called in too early. It was too, you know, on the gun. And I called back, and I was calling number five. So I'm like, that's really odd that would happen. Even though I didn't win. Because I think in a negative attitude, like, oh, I'm never going to get through. I just wouldn't have gotten through. So it's like you start opening possibility, like doors of possibility.
Right. So what was it like meeting me and you, and how was it? What did that feel like? Did it feel different? Did it feel weird?
Not at all. I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. I would have, like, leaped in your arms, but I had to hold myself back, so.
It was so outrageous. It's like we knew each other forever, right?
Well, we probably have. That's the beauty in, you know, like, the promises we make in the spiritual realm to look after one another here in the physical realm. And it's a hard balance that, you know, get used to. But I don't think a person fully lives if they just cut themselves off to spirituality. Because it is a dance. It's a dance of life, just the way you bump into people. You know, it's not, it couldn't be that random.
I've always known,
but I also know of people who kind of shy away from it. But there is something to the, you know, power of what you believe. And then there's the all-knowing. And I found that weird about myself was that I never had a problem with loving others. I always had a problem loving myself.
Yeah.
And accepting love into myself. Like, so I can give out the love, but I wouldn't allow myself to be worthy enough to receive that love, you know?
Right.
And so for me, I could always say, Amanda, you could do anything you want to do. You're beautiful. You know, I could see you, like, you know, not just reaching the moon, but attaining the moon, and I could not do that for myself at all. You know, for me, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't even climb the ladder to the moon. So I've learned that I have to also love myself while I'm cheating myself out of a realized life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. But you know something? Let me tell you, this week has been so miraculous for me because I keep getting this sense of spirituality and I keep hearing spirit. We are all spirit. And we, even the concept of spirituality is like so ridiculous. And Deepak always said that, you know, we are all spiritual, but it's not even about spiritual. We are spirit. And
right.
The spirit I am determines what I see and feel. So even to put ourselves in, I get this book in my hand about women, which is from Stark. She was like really one of the people, first females that really said, I'm worthy, you know. And I picked this book up, and basically I got to throw this book back down because it's not about I am worthy or not worthy. I'm good or I'm not good. I'm lovable or not lovable. We just are love, you know?
Right.
And I've worked hard to get to this point to realize that I am and so are you and so is everybody else. And why are we fighting that? Why are we, you know, it's about, if you had seen me in this job situation today, if you had seen what occurred in this restaurant, that I can't tell everybody that walked in was family. They all wanted to be with me. There was people from the Bronx that I never met, and they were like, one guy was Frank, and his wife looked just like somebody I know. And I was like, and they were in love with me. They wanted to hang out. They would give me advice on what I should do. Last girl had a dragonfly on her neck, and you know I feel the dragonfly. And I'm like, oh, my God. And she's like, oh, my God, this is so meant to be. This is in the first day of me being in my business. And I'm like, it was just amazing. And I said, that's what occurs when you know you are love.
And you know who you are. Because
you
honestly,
love.
You know, I mean, I've gone out a couple of times since, which is very rare for me because prior to my awakening, I suffered from a lot of anxiety disorders. You know, I didn't go out on a social level for over 6 years. So I'd leave the house. It wasn't as bad as complete agoraphobia, but, you know, for chores, responsibility, doctor's appointments, jobs. That's about the only reason why I left the house. Did not desire to be social whatsoever. And it was because I was spiritually dead. You know, and I do find that when you go to God, it's, for me, I can only speak from personal experience. It's I go, I leave, I come back, then I come back again. You know, it's been a bit of a struggle over my lifetime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Do we forget God when we're well equipped? I want to say when we're stable and okay, and it's almost like you put something on a shelf and then it starts to get dusty.
I think that for me, and I just want to add this, because for me, I've come away from the idea that God is separate from me. And, you know, it hasn't been easy because, I mean, I've screamed and cried, God, where are you, many a night. I mean, and I realize that he is me. And to deny that is like the biggest travesty and the biggest, you know, agony that I can cause myself, because it took me a long time to get here, believe me, because it's not easy to realize that you are God. And I'm humbled by it. I'm not like a big shot because I know this. I really feel like I want everybody to know that they're comfortable.
Understand that. I mean, it does make sense, you know. I mean, on more than one level. I think you realize that I might have an issue with my ego identity, because I feel I have a very good sense with the all-knowing inner wisdom that I have. Very good at that, giving it out. That's why I could tell you things and, you know, personal conversation or others when I get a sense of things. But for me, my ego would always deny that inner voice. So I know something beautiful. I know something beautiful, and my ego is trying to sabotage me. And that's been very difficult for me. Oh, it is. It is definitely that when I should be at peace with things, and that's what I find with the arms. When I call in energy, I think I'm looking for peace. That's not like the only thing I'm looking for is like peace, like just that feeling of everything will be and is okay. So, you know, and that's because my ego is just.
That's what we're here for, is the peace. Like, you know, I got into that because there's something that's happened that's so miraculous. In the restaurant, one of the first ladies that came in, she was sitting by herself, and she just says to me, where are you from in New York? And I said, the Bronx. She goes, oh, really? So then she says, you know, and she's looking at the wall, which is a picture of the Manhattan skyline. I mean, actually 42nd Street, not Manhattan skyline. And I'm looking right now on the internet, the same picture that's on the wall. Anyway, she says to me, she said, see that right over there? She goes, that's the hotel I stay with every time I go to New York. What is the chance, she said, of that being a reality? And I said, oh, my God. She goes, I cannot believe this. I walk, and I'm looking at the same to right now on the internet. It's so profound. It's where the Kodak sign is on the big screen, and underneath is the Marriott. And I'm like, oh, my God. And that's what happens, because everybody then is conscious when you become conscious. Everybody starts seeing what you see, the miraculous in every moment. You know, so people in my perceptual reality who pretend that they're unconscious is almost, and I had this conversation with Jordan because he called me last night, and he was like freaking out. He says, I am so tired of the bullshit of people actually claiming that they're victims. And he's saying, I can't take it anymore. I may come on your show and I have to be obscene because I really am disgusted. And the reality is, once you awaken, and most of us are now in our perceptual realities, you know, mine, yours, and people that are really awakening, when we awaken up and saying, we can't play this game of pretending that we're not who we are anymore. We have to understand that everything that's occurring, we are making occur. And even if it sucks, we got to take responsibility for it. Because when you do, you can shift it. When you don't, then you're giving it to some other aspect of you to take care of it again. And then what happens? We become victims of circumstances. When we're not, we're not.
Right.
So when I speak to someone who absolutely is clueless, when I know they are, and they're saying, but you did that, and I say to myself, this is not who I am. I've got to come back to love. You know, and the reality is, and again, I'm saying this because I know that there's something in you that wants to hear this, because you know who you are. Because like you said, in the past couple of months, you have transcended such a little space of non-doing almost, you know, of not really being true to your heart at all. And now you're saying, I'm going to venture out. I'm going to venture out of this this little box that I've created for myself, like I've been doing, you know. And, you know, to see you come to that Manhattan and do it on your own and hear that you went back and did your Dinah, which I did too. We both went to the Dinah. It was, like, so funny. We didn't even communicate it. But it's because you realize that every moment is one with God. Every moment is divine. It's not about who shows up and who doesn't. That's where the ego went to think, if my ego wants to be in bed with that person or wants to bathe or wants to kiss or wants to do something. So that's my ego. But when, in fact, we know that that part of us, you know? So if that part of us is with us, always, where is God? God is too. And when I get that I'm really hanging out with God 24/7, it's a whole different world.
Right.
I'm
with you. I'm just saying, breaking out of that ego mentality. You know,
yes.
I'm a recent newbie. It was quite difficult. Everything that I had been dealing with but not facing came to surface all at once. You
yes.
know, it was a little bit of an inner battle. It's something that, you know, but you have to go with God and believe in love, because that's what we are. And when you do that, it's really not a fight at all. Because
yeah, but baby, believe me, I'm not any different than you. I am definitely not completely free of the ego or the fear. But I look at it. I mean, I was on a plane. I was having a panic attack because they weren't taking off. I mean, they're having problems. I was like, oh, shit, I want to get off. I was actually visioning myself just running off the plane. I'm like, excuse me, this is going on in your own mind.
This is when you got to put it in check, right?
So there's a part of me that takes over and says, stop it. You're acting like a dope. You know this
right.
isn't real. But because I've really allowed that part to come forth, the part of me that's really the critical, you know, abstract-minded parent that's really got it going for itself. You know, it's not the part of me that's, you know, living by the rules and regulations that we thought was the way we're supposed to live.
Right.
So anyway, I don't know. And like I said, so I'm not saying I'm any way or, you know, more evolved than you are. I'm just saying that I've come to an awareness because of a sense of peace that I'm in now that I don't, and, you know, this peace is not, you know, something that you and I talk about all the time. And you know that I go through a lot of suffering. But this is like something that just, it's like all of a sudden I'm draped with this beautiful fur, soft fur blanket, and it feels right. And it's not about anything outside of me. So that's cool. It's really cool. You know?
Well, just like happiness, it comes in waves. I mean, we can't be in a constant state of happiness. We wouldn't even appreciate that happiness if that was true. It would become indifferent. You know?
Well,
so I think there is.
It is relative. I mean, it is personal. That's one thing, you know, the personal relationship with God or joy or peace, whatever, it's personal. And, you know, I don't think that anybody could really say, well, I got a handle on it or I don't. I think that we all reach it on the level that we do. When I was really in the most bliss was when I didn't have a clue about anything, when I was just free-flowing. I was like, I don't even know why I'm giggling. I laughed constantly. I was giggling constantly. And it wasn't because of contrast, that's good, that's bad. It was just giggles. And I knew on some level as the observer that that was really God, because there was
right.
no reason for me to giggling.
Well, that's
None.
What I think is weird about what's happening to me, because I'm starting to look like the way I did when I was in that state last. Does that make sense
right.
to you? I gained a lot
oh, yeah.
of weight, and I look different, and even my hair is changing back to the color it used to be. Very weird.
I love it.
You know, but I'm
it,
just
yeah.
like, I have to settle down the ego because I become an impatient person and there's
yeah.
no control over this. It's about letting go to higher authority. It really is.
Right.
Inside, outside,
mm-hmm.
everything, everywhere, every time. You know, so that's mm-hmm. where, you know, it's like, you know, the bratty girl is stomping her feet saying, I want it now. And that's exactly what will change my destiny path, when it should be what it's supposed to be, which is true, pure, love, which is peaceful, and it doesn't covet, it doesn't get jealous. There is no ego in it, you know?
Right.
So it's a patient thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I feel so amazed. I was standing in the kitchen with the girl that works at the restaurant and my grandson, and, you know, they were saying, you know, I just started saying I'm a spiritual teacher, and I said, you know, I'm really, you know, not, this is not who I am. As a matter of fact, I'm grounding in this reality. I'm not sure why, and it feels right. And the only reason I'm here is to bring love and to give love and to receive love and to share it. And it was like, you know, it's like all of a sudden I got off of like I was on a retreat for like 500 years, and I decided I'm going to come back and live in the world. And that's what it feels like. But even though I was made that decision to step down in a sense, you know, from the hierarchy or the higher of grounded reality where I'm working in a restaurant, I really feel that nothing's changed, because all of a sudden I saw everybody gathering around me today in love and celebration as if they too were in the same space I was in. You know, they were with their family eating and laughing and giggling. And everybody, my son was saying, do you give everybody your number? I mean, I'm not giving them my number. I'm just, my God, there's like heavy-duty conversation. I can't help that. I love to share the moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was that. It was really a celebration. And there wasn't any, like, there's no ego in that. There's no judgment in that. You're just celebrating. There was a guy that was a little autistic, and he was shaking my hand, and this one, and you could see that he was like, and he was like, this is so good. He's eating his food. I'm like, yes, thank you, Peter. You're an angel. And the man said, yes, he is an angel. How did you know he was an angel? And my birth is, all of a sudden, I walk into this place, and I just completely transform it. But I don't transform physically, form the energy, because I profess the love that I am.
Right.
And it's really not personal. It really is not personal, because I really don't see me in this. I just see everybody beaming in this. And what could be more beautiful? And I think that's what Jesus did. I think that he showed up and just beamed. He was so thrilled.
I think that's what, like, the triangle is. Like, you have to have a shared frequency with others that are God as well, you know? That relationship between you and that other person is very important. Whoever your present is with, you know, that's we're social beings. But beyond that, there is like a sister and brotherhood to us, you know, that we are all connected.
You know, I say that, you know, to people when they start, and I go, this is your brethren, you know, this is your brethren. Do you not care about that aspect of you? I mean, don't you understand that we are all interconnected? You know, there's no separation. You know what's amazing? I was walking through...
But it's beautiful that you could come into a room and share that energy, and that energy just subsequently goes from beam to beam to beam, and everybody's connected. And
you might as well know.
Beautiful.
I swear to you, when you might as well know that when you walk into a room like that. When I walked into the diner in Tarrytown, I'm family. The woman immediately started talking to me about her life, the waitress. She told me everything, you know, everything. And while I'm sitting there eating my delicious, you know, grilled cheese sandwich, and she's telling me everything. And I'm like, there's no hang up and there's no ego, because if there was, people wouldn't feel safe to do that. They wouldn't feel that it's okay to share their deepest, darkest whatever's with you. So there's got to be a comfort zone when you're in that kind of love. And how do you know it? Because everybody wants to be around you. And when one of the shows I talked about that, and I was really, you know, criticized for it, because, you know, people that care about me said, why would you say that you're like a dog in heat? But the reality is, it's not the physical sexual tendency of a dog in heat, but it is an energy of attracting those aspects of you that want to cuddle and share and love and express themselves with you, because they feel something that is so about, you know, about reproducing. More love. I was walking to Home Depot with two big bougainvillea plants, because I decided that in the front of the restaurant, I want to have two beautiful planters to welcome people. And I tell you, now this is Home Depot, there's a lot of male energy. Everyone that passed me said, wow, those plants are beautiful.
That's awesome.
Made the right decision. Because everybody in my world validated that I was doing the right thing. So I've become the observer more than the participant or more than the, you know, the feeling of tone that I am it. I've become more the observer because my world's showing me where I'm at, you know. And that's why I feel like a celebration, truly, because I really feel for the first time that I really am walking the talk, you know. It's no more talking the talk. I'm walking it. And what could be better than that, you know?
Well,
and I really feel that, you know, you are too. You know, you are. You're walking through, you know, huge obstacles. You know, you're walking through almost like a landmine. There's landmines all over the place, and you're avoiding them by knowing that they are really not going to harm.
Going to hurt me. They're not going to hurt me. I do know that.
And so that's beautiful. And that's the first step.
I just have to stay in that energy because I actually, like, just saw something when you said that. Like, me literally walking through landmines that weren't hurting me.
That's the truth. They're not real, you know. People that are really in the high vibration, and they say, Deepak always says that, you know, that he knows with people that walk into a den of, I think it's called a den, snake den, and there's, like, cobras and all kinds of poisonous snakes, and they become roses to these people. They don't even see it. And that's happened to me so many times. There is no danger because I don't see it. I have not one ant in my house in Florida. Before I came here, it was loaded. I don't
well,
fear them.
Well, if you
them.
Think about it, they, you know, animals have that instinct that they detect fear. So if you enter a place fear-based, they're going to attack you. That's the reaction that you're putting forth in your reality.
And that's,
you know,
the key
if
to
if you walk in a room of a dog and you fear that dog, he's going to bark at you.
And that's
definitely,
where resistance,
whether he barks or not, you know?
Right. So take that and use the pest or the bug or the disease or the tragedy or the accident. It's all about resistance. So I don't resist ants, so they don't show up. I don't resist cockroaches, they don't show up. Now, they have come, but I just pleasurably see them leaving in love because it's amazing in Florida. It's amazing. I have not seen a mosquito in a couple of years.
Wow.
How could that be? Because I don't see them as pests. You know, I walk them out of the house. If I happen to see a big water bug, I say, what are you doing? You know, what's up? And I walk them out, you know. I can't have anything. If I resist anything, I'm keeping it alive. And that's another something that I'm going to give to the listeners tonight. If there is something in your way, one of my students, I've known her for years. She's from Canada. And she wrote on her thing, there's some kind of big storm in her town. And she had a church. She had a lot of property. And the church was damaged. And she's having a lot of problems. This girl is a political activist. She's really big in the government in Canada. And so I always say, you know, come back to love. Anyway, so she says, I don't know what's going on. Anybody have any ideas what I can do to fight this situation? And I said, that's the answer. You gave yourself the answer by the question. What you fight, what you resist will persist. So stop fighting. Make love. And she said, I know that, Ananda, I am. But, you know, the truth is it's only a problem because you're seeing it as such, you know. When you stop seeing it as a problem, it has to clear. I had a lot of things on the bank account when I was coming back from the trip. You know, who puts $50 hold, who puts $200. Initially, I called people. I called one person, and they said, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I understand. Let me go. I never called another company, another hotel, another anything, and I looked, and everything cleared today. Because I didn't give it any more mind. I didn't pay it any more mind, that which I didn't want. And this is the key to everything being resolved. If something is not happily happening in your life, if there's some kind of obstacle, some kind of something in your life crisis, don't see it as such. See it as the desired outcome. Believe me, especially because we're in higher consciousness now, and I say that, not in the sense of higher and better, but we are really awakened now. So it's
not for nothing. That's something that even though I've had dramatic experiences, I always felt like that I kept it in line. I don't know how to explain it, that there was, even in hindsight, even if I did lose my temper, I looked back and saw, wow, that could have been a very bad outcome, you know, and that was avoided. You know what
right.
I mean? And
so
in there,
it.
Even though... You know, that might be later on the ego talking for me and not speaking from the heart when I go to the heart. I'll bring up that movie again, actually, Love Actually. One of
yeah.
the characters has a brother in the institution, and he goes to strike her, and her hand just goes straight up, and she didn't even have
yep.
to, like, exert that much energy. I've been there. I've done exactly
yep.
that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it is this kind of, not letting the bad situation get out of hand by giving out your own negative energy. You
and
know what I mean?
Work.
Like that fuel
yeah.
to the flame.
Yeah. But that's a good metaphor, not letting it out of hand, and that's what the movie was showing. You know, and everything is symbolic like that, you know. We understand that everything, you know, people, if you just look at your body, you listen to your circumstances, you will be told exactly why that's occurring the way it is,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's just, I, with my kids, I get amazed. You know, my son the other day, I was, like, really upset because all of a sudden, all different angles were coming at me. My father was saying one thing, my other son was saying another. And my younger son, who's the one that's really been, like, a savior, he's, like, the perfect representative of the male in me, you know. When he was like that, I started just crying, and he said, Mom, you know, Mom. And I said, yeah. And he said, Mom, you need to stop yelling. You need to stop being upset. Why are you frightened? You know, why are you frightened? And I said, why are you frightened, Mommy? What's frightening you? And it just, was that perfect? You know, I was in fear. You cannot get upset unless you're frightened. So anytime I've gotten upset to anyone out there in my world, my family, my friends, my lovers, my whatever, I'm sorry. Because you know what? I was only afraid. Anytime I carried on, anytime I got crazy, anytime I yelled at you, it's because I was frightened. And anytime
aww.
Anybody else, they were frightened, right? So I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know that I was afraid. As a matter of fact, I was clueless that I was afraid because I was so afraid that I was insane. And you know, we get insane.
Panicking, right. In panic mode.
In panic, and, you know, and he was wise enough as a part of me that I'll pitch it and said, what are you afraid of, Mommy? And as soon as he said that, I was like a little girl. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. No, no, don't be sorry.
That's one thing I've appreciated raising my son into a young man is that wisdom. I can't explain
I
it. Sometimes he just floors me with the things he says to me, you know?
And he's you. You taught him that.
Right.
You taught
that's what's,
you know,
that's
he's
what's
the best
beautiful
teacher.
About it.
So he's really the... So do you understand how much power you have? Now do you understand
Okay, so about my anxiety, just, I don't want to give it too much power, but I had this thing with, like, lining up cans in alphabetical order and the boxes go on the top shelf and all this
yeah.
nonsense. Basically, it's nonsense. And I would go into the bathroom with the next thing, and this is when my child was very young, 3-4 years old, and he would climb the closet and go into the cabinet and undo everything. So by the time I was done with the bathroom, I'd go into the kitchen, and I would see all my cans were messed up. Then while I'm fixing that, he'd go into the bathroom. He was trying to break it, that OCD. He was trying to let go of the cans being lined up. And instead I got angry because I probably was afraid of what had happened. I am
and
telling
was,
you, because it took me years to realize that after 8 years of him doing this, I would line up the cans and he would knock them over. Because it really doesn't matter. I was so on this mind state that I wanted things to look nice that I just didn't even get it, to be honest with you.
But it was you doing it to you through him, and that's the most amazing. So, you know, it's so crazy when you start realizing that. You're like, oh, my God. I'm sitting here on Thanksgiving, and I think I told you, I was, you know, with a bunch of people, not Thanksgiving, but, you know, before I went away, I had a Thanksgiving dinner for my family and a few people that I know. And I'm saying I can't. And my son said, that's 3 C's, cut it out, my oldest son. And he's in the other room. And I said, John, he goes, I'm serious. Those are 3 negatives. Stop it. It's not who you are. And I was like,
aww.
Oh, my God. And they were like, oh, my God, that guy's amazing. I said, how can he not be? They were brought up on this. They were raised with me, and I am only seeing the fruits of my own labor. And the labor pains that we've gone through to raise these aspects of ourselves. So do you see how now you can change this physical reality by changing it within you? You know, he's showing you something. What is he teaching you? What is this guy teaching you that he's going to the extreme to say, Ma, are you going to get
cut it out. He's basically saying,
what the
enough
hell
of
are
this.
You doing, man? I've been working with you all these years.
If I swept the floor, he would literally just put breadcrumbs on the floor. That's just what I dealt with. So, it's, you know, like he's telling me, we have to have a certain level of filth in the house, and it's okay.
And that's exactly what happened. That's what our kids do to us. They show us, you know, the person hits the kid because he's pissed off because the kid's saying, don't you freaking get it? And he's keeps doing the same shit for the parent. And the parent hits him because he doesn't want to look at himself. He doesn't want to look at the shit. You know, so we get it now. We're awakened to it. And I'm telling you this because I'm really trying to deeply embed it in you. You're telling you through me that you have the power to heal your son now. You have the power to change his life now because he's just acting out for you still until this day. What is he teaching you? What is he trying to teach you now? You know,
right.
What is he trying to show you now that you can't see? You keep saying it's him. I got to get out of here. No, it's not him. It's not the disease that he claims to own. It's something in you that's saying, I don't want to see this. I got to go. So let's heal it now. Let's go through it. If you want to go through it, let's do it. This is the kind of work I've been doing for years, and this is the kind of work that transforms life. You know, we're not together on this level because we're very close. There's a reason. And not that I'm better than you, because I'm not. I've committed my life to being a channel for the higher wisdom. So what is it in you now that wants to remove this block called, you know, the situation as it is? What's going on? I mean, you don't have to do it out, but, you know, something to consider.
I can't even explain it. He's not taking care of his diabetes.
Now, his diabetes, now, can we correct that error immediately? Because he doesn't possess diabetes. He's just using the costume for now. Why is he using it? You know, why do you think that he wants to do diabetes? Because he doesn't own it. It's not his. It's something he's assuming. And, you know, we can assume anything. Jesus said that. You know, what do you believe? Because your beliefs will determine what you experience. So why does he believe that he has to go through this? Why do you believe that he has to go through this? Let's go even beyond that.
Well, I believe he has to take insulin to live.
All right. So do you believe that something outside of the self can sustain the self, whether it be medicine, whether it be a relationship, whether it be money, whether it be a house?
You mean like spiritually? I don't – my son has got – some extreme wisdom.
All right, so let's get your son out of the picture. He's your teacher. What is he teaching you right now about this situation called diabetes? He's not taking it. He's saying, I don't believe in this shit, Ma. Would you stop? Why are you making me think that I have to do this? And when in fact, Jesus said you can heal anything, right? Just follow me. So why do you think he can't heal himself? Why do you think that you can't heal yourself? This is the key, because you're totally into God. If there's anyone that should believe this, it's you. So why is this holding you back?
My son had been drinking a lot of water. It wasn't ridiculous, but he was drinking some water, and it wasn't a big deal. And one night, I was sleeping in my room, and he was in his bedroom, and I heard this growling type of sounds, right? I was so paralyzed with fear, I couldn't get up. Something inside of me was saying, don't look at its eyes. The morning will come. Just go to sleep. And I kind of felt pretty badly because I literally was paralyzed to the bed. I felt pretty badly that I couldn't run to my son's aid because it was near his bedroom door.
All right. The next morning, I got him ready to put him on the school bus. I'm getting ready to drive to work, and I hear another voice. Why did you send him to school? You know he has diabetes. This is what happened. So I called the school. I called out of work. I drove across the island to go pick him up, or I'm back across the island to the pediatrician. And his blood sugar was high, and we took an ambulance from there. That's how he was diagnosed.
Right.
But so, this inside voice that comes to me, like I don't always see it as just internal, because I don't know, because I don't think I possess the knowledge that I. I don't possess the knowledge that I've been shown before, you know.
You don't have to possess any knowledge. All you got to understand is what in you is bringing forth that in your son. Because when you get it, it's done. And you don't have to tell me that because it's really, I'm just, an application.
I have no
mind.
Idea. I'm actually really clueless on that. If there was a particular one
what
answer, I have no idea.
With him and what feelings come up with him? When he's experiencing that, especially when he's being not, conformant. He's not conforming to the idea that he needs to take insulin. What comes up in you?
That's what I was going to say before, but you had stopped me because you had said that, why am I convinced that he needs to do it or assume the responsibility of it? And my kind of thought about it, and people have said this to me before too, instead of fighting it and not, just being mad at it, just accept the time I get with him.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
I also
know
that he can live to old age in these times. We don't have to do this. Like, there's no insulin and there's no plastic, right? I also know that.
All
but
right.
If he just went by regimen, he could live a very long time.
I have to stop you just because I'm feeling guided to this on some level. You're telling me to. What did Jesus teach you? What did Jesus come to teach? In your opinion?
Everything?
What did Jesus come to teach? What did he say? What was his biggest teaching?
Just
to
love one another.
To love one another. And what magic did he show? But what did he say? When anyone had a circumstance, a disease, anything, what did he say?
I'm not sure.
And he says, first of all, judge not lest you be judged. So don't judge the guy that's having a problem. Just follow me. But I'm blind. So what do you got to do? You got to take that medicine? All right, take your medicine, but follow me. All right, but what are my circumstances? Take your bed. Follow me. He said, follow me home because I am the way back to God. So the Christ within is the way back to God. No medicine, no disease, no person, no place, no thing has any power but the power you give it. So in fact, your son really is wearing a disguise, and it's called diabetes. So why would he wear that? What is he here to teach you that you can't see in yourself?
Right.
Now, you don't have to accept this, but I tell you that this is the key to transcending any limitation in the body. It's a key. I walk around, it's
this is where it gets confusing for me. I'm doing that for my own self, actually. But for him, I feel like this is his free will doing it. So I just have to be a loving mother. I mean, Jordy actually helped me say, so he's basically committing suicide, he asked me. I said, yeah, he's basically committing suicide. So he says, well, then love him enough to allow him to make that choice. Tell him it's okay that you love him anyway and love him every day. It's not an easy decision for mommy to make, you know? Like, I just see it like there's no reason to not, you know? I don't know. And I do feel like it's kind of separate from my choice.
All right, in my teaching, and this is only my teaching, accept this or not, but when I work with people, and I've done this forever, that I always say to them, so, after the 5 minutes, we don't talk about the other person, we just talk about you. So why is that in your life? Well, you don't understand, he did that. All right, we're going to continue, then we're not going to continue. I'm not going to counsel you for the rest of the time, you can leave. But you don't understand.
Right.
No, I do understand. What
does that have to do with you? What does that do to you when he acts the way he acts?
Because
it,
when you get
it makes me paranoid and I get angry because I'm trying to get him to just stay in line. Like, because if he just takes his insulin, he stays longer.
So stay in line and you're a sick child and you'll do what I say. He's not a sick child. He's a child of God. As a matter of fact, he's God himself pretending he's not to do something to teach you something. So what is he teaching you? Our world is our teacher. It's here to show us. Because if you heal him or if he leaves, he commits suicide, he decides to get married, you're going to do it with somebody else. So you're either going to look at it and heal it or it's coming to another vessel. Because it's only your mirror that you're looking in. And this is in your face. You can't deny this. So if you get it, then you can let him be. And be that every time he has a crisis that you're going to be devastated or hurt because it really is a gift for you. So what? Don't shoot the messenger. Just to ask, find out what he's coming to teach you. So he knocked on your door and he's acting like a lunatic. What would you do? What are you feeling when he does that?
Oh, when he's like that, it's already too, I'm not mad. It's just about hospital time at that point. No, I get upset when I see it coming. That's the problem. Like I might be projecting it that way.
Is there anything in your life that you've experienced at a younger age that caused you that kind of upset?
No, nothing like with my son.
All right, so not the fear of being of crisis or conflict.
I had my
son
very young, and I really did do it alone. Like I was beyond a single mother. Like I really didn't even have time off. You know, he was at the hip all the time, and it was just someone I had to protect. So
right.
When he got diagnosed, that's what ground away from me.
Why did you create your son to have to protect him? Who, in fact, needed the protection? We can create scenarios, and people can blame you, and you could blame them, and, oh, after all, no. We created those scenarios because we were taught something to bring that forth in our reality. So I abused you, he hurt you, they did that, I did that to me. The reality is something it's a learned behavior. We can only believe in abuse and neglect and whatever is because we were taught that's what is a reality. So who taught you that you could be harmed in such a way and frightened in such a way and devastated in such a way? Who taught you that? You know? Who taught you that your son needed to be protected before he was born, that was planted in his seed? You know?
Yeah.
That came in. So that's something you may want to explore. And any of the listeners that are listening, this is a very powerful experience that we're having here. It's for me, it's for you, it's for everybody. Everything in my world is telling me something that mostly I don't want to see when it's negative.
I did go through some devastating experiences in my life. So the thought that I like was in agreement with those things to happen, it's kind of weird.
That's weird, but devastating. Right. So those devastations come into the being. They become cellular memories so much that we record them, and then we project
it. So much that I stayed
outward.
In the house. So much
what,
that
honey?
I stayed in the house. So much
right.
that I stayed in the house, you know? And then I had
right.
to come back out with a different head that, no, I might not see somebody get murdered today. You know, like, because I really, if I heard a plane, I thought it was going to come crashing down on me. It's pretty bad.
Exactly.
I've not been to war, and yet
I want everybody
I was in war.
Who's listening. I want everybody who's listening, and I want everybody who's archiving this to understand right now that this is a precursor. These are the building blocks to disease in our reality. That if somebody in your life is causing you pain, it is your pain. If somebody in your life is causing you to believe that they're sick, it's your sickness, because there is nothing that's happening that wasn't built by you, that wasn't recorded in your cells and replicated outward. And let me tell you, we could actually heal diabetes tonight if we get this. We could actually heal cancer tonight if we get this. Everything we see is an outpicturing of what we feel. And we can point at the guy and say, he did that to me. No, I did that to me, and I made you act it out for me.
How did I do it to me? I allowed myself to believe a storyline that was built on pain, fear, and suffering. And, of course, we come into that. We come into that from another reality, and we were hurt and scarred and bruised, and we come in as children with the same cellular memory, and we make the environment match that. And so the environment matches that. Then our offspring, then our lovers, then our jobs, then our geographical locations. Our bodies, for one, is immediately replicates that. But our children are our best teachers. They show us exactly what we've done to ourselves or allowed to be done to ourselves. So when he says to me, you abused me, you know what? No, no, I didn't abuse you. I'm just mirroring for you what you can't see in yourself, what you allowed to be done to you. And most of us are children, so we, you know, but again, are we children? We're spirit. You know, we're spirit. So I hope that what's coming through tonight is not only for you, baby, it's for me, it's for everybody here. And this is what I've come to realize, and it's so logical. You know, why are you trying to protect him? What are you afraid of? What do you think is going to happen if you don't protect him?
Right. Right. Like, I can't, it's not up to me, I know. That's what he's been telling me.
So he is with God, and if you trust that, and you really trust that, then you become more trustful of yourself and your God. And the more that you become trustful and accepting of the fact that God is who you really are and who he really is, you don't have to fix him. And the more you're certain of that and confident of that, you know what? He's going to heal. You're going to heal because he's your baby. He's you. So the more that you love yourself, as you say, and feel yourself worthy to receive the peace and the love of God, he's going, that's why I say I'm modeling it now. I'm walking the talk. I'm walking what, you know, my vision, 9 months, not using the glasses. I'm in the restaurant and I can't see the menu. I got to make these, I can't see the menu. And I said, I'm only in this mindset because I think that I need glasses. I traveled all over in the last year. No glasses, night, rain, it didn't matter. I read books without glasses. All of a sudden, I'm grounded back into, oh, my God, can I do this? Oh, my God, you know, people are going to judge me. What if I'm not successful? All the little programs start replaying. And if I allow myself to get caught in that, what happens? All of a sudden, the physical malady that I may go away, called lack of vision, low vision, comes back in a nanosecond. I can't see. And then I said, I'm not buying into this. If I could see everything else, why would I not be able to see that menu? You know? And that's why I say we become the witness. We start watching our steps. We start watching our world. We start listening. Because everything is teaching us about us. Everything. This Kodak is right in my face as I'm talking to you. I get the chat window open on my computer, and I keep seeing the skyline with Kodak. What is that telling me? It's a Kodak moment. Every moment is a Kodak moment. And it's here to teach us something about us. So if I was you, and I'm not, but I am on some deep level because we're all connected, I would start looking at why. This is occurring. Why is it that you're creating a scenario that's causing you pain? And, you know, not only him, but you know what I mean. Why are we doing this? And when we start seeing that it's only us trying to protect something or some part of us, and we can get over that because God is doing that. Well, God's in charge. We don't have to get in God's way, you know. Oh, my God, no. Let him take care of us. Anyway, there's another call. So let me just open this. I'm going to keep you on, baby. Don't go anywhere. But
okay.
Hello. Hello. Who's calling?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
Alexander.
Did you want to talk?
Yes, I do. But some things. It's about my current situations about my career. and relationships, but first my career.
Have you been listening to the show,
going?
Baby? Have you been listening to the show? Okay.
Part of it's got on, really.
What?
I just got on. I just now started listening to it. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
All right. So what did you get from it so far?
Huh?
What did you get from it so far? What did you learn from it?
I can't really say healing.
Right. So what did you want to know about your job, love?
My career, where do you see it going?
I see that right now you're in between a lot of stuff, you know, you're pretty much undecided about everything. So what's holding you back?
School, man. I got to knock the school thing out.
School's holding you back?
No, I got to not get it out of the way before I get to my other stuff.
All right. What about your love life? What do you want to know about that?
Where do you see that going?
I think you're in between a lot of madness right now. You're not really sure about what you want to do. You're all scattered. Why are you scattered?
I don't know. I'm 33. Do you think that's odd?
How old are you, Sabrina?
35.
I thought you were 33. I'm sorry, I thought you were 33. I thought that was really cool. 33 is a good number. So, what's your birthday?
What?
My
August 18th.
What year?
80.
1980. So, it's 9, 6, 8, 9, 7, 5. Okay. All right. So, what do you want to do? Tell me what your dreams are.
In terms of careers or love life?
That's your dreams, your careers, and your love life? Or everything. What do you want to do? What's going on?
I want to make film. I like writing. I like music. I like a little bit of everything because of creative arts. People.
That's beautiful. Jordy would say that the arts is like the only place to be because creation is of, you know, art, of music, of everything that we touch. The phone is art. You know, everything that we touch is art. So to be in that energy is like almost like, you know, a really close connection to the source, you know, to God. So are you pursuing it? Are you singing? Are you playing an instrument? What are you doing?
I make film.
You make film. That's awesome. What kind of films are you doing?
I just used to cook with Alexander. I'm a chef on the show. Did a G-Shock commercial pitch, that kind of thing.
Very cool. So you're good about what you're doing. You're into the profession that you want to be in. You're into the passion that you want to be in, right?
I just don't have a degree yet. That's the only thing.
That doesn't matter. You can stay in focus. If you're into your passion, you're going to be really great, you know? I really feel like that the energy is around you. So I think that it's about just staying focused and not letting anything get in your way. Because the education really isn't the end product. The end product is you staying in your passion, you know, because anything can happen in an hour from now. You know that. I mean, something can show up that's just right for you. But that means you've got to stay true to your passion. That's what keeps coming to me. And what about relationships? Are you looking at a few different places in relationships right now?
It's hard because I got an email on my email site from freeblightdates.com, and she didn't get back yet. She responded to me. I responded back to her, but she didn't get back. Where do you see that going?
Well, what I don't see is I try not to go into the future, though. Lately I've been seeing a lot of things that maybe I don't even want to see. But the reality is that I believe that everybody has the potential to do anything. So to say anything is going to happen for you is to limit you. So I'm going to say that I just feel that you're in a few different places and direction. And I think right now the most important thing for you now is your film. And I think that when you do that, everything's going to work out for you, if that makes sense. So don't be looking at the email and worrying about this and worrying about that, because that's a distractor. You don't need the distraction right now. When you get into your full passion with the film, everything's going to show up.
Right. Well, I want to say I understand that, but I've never actually been in a relationship before. That's all I was trying to say.
What'd you say, baby? Say that again. Say it a little slower.
I've never actually been in a relationship before.
You've never been in a relationship before? If you listen to this show, you'll understand the only relationship you really ever have is with the self, and that when you become fully in love with the self, then everybody seems to be in relationship in a loving way with you. And so most relationships, as we've grown to know it, listen to me, is relationships we were taught, and we were taught to do those lessons and to learn something from those lessons, not from the relationship that we're in. Those people are showing us parts of ourselves that maybe we can't see. But we're only here really to have one relationship, and that's with God ultimately. But to have it with loving the self, because when you love the self, then the music works, the art works, the relationships and the body work. And we're coming to that as a consciousness, because we're all awakening, knowing that we're one with God, that we are really the children of the Most High, and that we need to stay true to that. That's where it's at. So if you stay true to that, and I really feel that's where you're at, that everything's going to work out, you know?
It's hard. I have needs for finding out loud, man.
What kind of needs, baby?
Nothing
that you can't give yourself, babe. Everything that you need is already with you.
Crazy.
We don't need something outside of us to fill us on any level. And if you come this far without it, then you know what? You're good. You're good. And that's all you gotta
hurt.
Know.
Hey, that's not funny.
It's not funny. It's just a general statement. So the reality is you're doing good. And open up to the fact, the possibility that somebody's coming in. Open up to that. But don't be looking for a lady just to do what you need to do. All right?
All right.
Thanks for calling, honey. You have a beautiful night. Thank you again. Anyway, that was that. So we have 7 minutes left. Baby, what did you want to talk about beyond what we just shared?
I would have, spoke to him a little bit, because he probably is the reason that he's blocked in that area for some reason. That is his own reason that he can't really find in another person to answer for him. My mom is always wise when she knows that I'm down and out, that she says, you know, we often forget to turn to God. And it really is, you know, not just inside, outside, whether it's there is, to me, an illuminated source above us, because we share that light, you know? But the light is also in me. So when I have conversations with God, it's speaking to the self as well as, you know, the energy. Because there is an energy that washes over my spirit and puts me at peace that I didn't possess when I reached out for God. So I don't get the physical hug but that all-knowing, peaceful feeling. And if he feels he wants or needs or blocking him, you know, and it's probably coming from the self.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this in the highest regard. And I say this about my lover, too, that when somebody could be celibate for that many years, when they could be without it, they are not in their evolved soul. Those parts of the one are not needing the lessons. They're not needing the other body. They get it on a deep level that it's about God. So when he just said he needed somebody, that's a joke. You know, he's just feeling the ego saying, you know what, it's about time. Yeah, well, if it's about time, then it's about, but it's not about
then
that.
Then it'll happen.
Right. The fact is, he's evolved. When somebody tells me at 33 and they've never been, I am impressed. He's my teacher. You know, I'm serious. And that's why when I laugh, you know, he said, it's not funny. It really, to me, it's like they're goofing on me, because they got it. They figured it out. They don't have to do these frigging lessons.
Right.
They just now want to have the pleasure of being with another, and he'll have that, you know. But it's not about the other. You know, we know that. We know that it's about the one relationship with God, making love to us, bringing us into our full measure, and then that part of us appears outside of us sometimes. Lots of times it doesn't. And especially now because we're so awakened, it's like foolish to even play that game. You know, when you think about it, that I need that person to get, you know, myself to a physical pleasure, when all I got to do is think about that person, and I'm in bliss. Because that person's a part of me that awakened the part of me that is the fullness of being one with God, you know? So beautiful. Anyway, I hope we have 4 minutes left. I hope that we've come to a state of understanding that we are really one with the power that be. And like you said, I really feel God is with me now constantly. And it's not about outside of me at all anymore. God is with me, walking side by side, pushing me, nudging me, pulling me, holding me. Do this, don't do that. And not even in any way, but it's just flowing now. It's like I'm in that boat with Jesus, you know, and he's saying, what do you fear, man? Don't you trust? Don't you trust? If in that boat, Jesus, okay, in that storm, Jesus would have reacted, the entire ship would have capsized and everybody would have died. And that's a really good metaphor for anyone now going through any crisis, in dis-ease, in disharmony, in any kind of a crisis. Understand that you are, in fact, controlling waters by what the way you react or don't, you know? So do you want to save your ship? And the only way to save it is to trust in every moment that what's occurring is occurring perfectly, and that all you need to do is to be still and know. All we need to do is be still and know. But we are the maker, you know? We are making everything occur as we decide for it to occur. And God is saying, okay, all right, whatever, good, great, all right. Because he knows. He trusts that he's in charge. And that's the way we have to be in our perceptual world. We have to trust that we are in charge. Everything in our world is contingent upon what I am feeling about me. So I'm in that boat. I'm with Jesus. And it's going crazy, you know? And I'm just chilling. Anything you want to say before we go, baby? And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
beautiful as always, you know.
Yeah, it is a beautiful connection. Beautiful.
A lot to digest, but in good ways. You know, I was actually just doing the arm calling thing, so when you speak, and
Well, you really near your goal in a lot of respects, and you know, really feel good about that. You know, and just allow yourself to bathe in God's arms tonight and just to know that everything is absolutely divinely placed by you and God for your highest good. For anyone listening, and again, in the archive, understand that everything that was spoken tonight was for everyone that was here listening and everyone that will listen, because we're all here to remember that we are one with the highest love nature and that we are one with infinite potential. New York reminded me of that. There is nothing impossible in the mind of man, in the heart of man. So have a beautiful night. I love you all, and I'm so happy to be back. And have a great weekend. I love you. I love you. I love you. Good night, Angel.
Good night. Love you. Bye.
Love you.